Now, I'm very pleased to welcome Geraldine, who's going to come to the front and talk a little bit about the work that's been happening through to Rivers. I'll not steal her thunder. Geraldine, do you need this? Why don't you welcome Geraldine? Say hello. And you can press the clicker.
Morning, everybody. Welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Geraldine Stanley. And today I'm just going to do a really short presentation of the work that was carried on whilst some of us were isolating, or some of us were keeping safe. After this, there's going to be lots of opportunities for you to get in touch with me or get in touch with Pastor David. As I go through the presentation, you might have some questions. I will have a short time for questions. I'm going to do two presentations. So after the first one, I'll take some questions, and after the second one, we'll discuss more questions. I'm going to time myself. I've got 20 minutes. I will do this. We will do this in 20 minutes. So that's why I'm moving towards here. Now, this logo, some of you will be familiar with, is what we'd set up. I will tell you how we set that up. And Sussex Community Foundation, I must call out, because they funded nearly all the work that was done during the lockdown. So I am the director of Rivers for Women, which is a CIC. I'm also the director of a women's charity, which was founded in 2010 and is still going. Oceans Community Project, we do a lot of integration. For example, one of our most successful we've just done was the Sensor Support Center, which we did for West Sussex, and that was based here in the Ark, just next door. So again, New Life has been involved in things that are beyond Crawley into West Sussex and East Sussex. And then I'm the community associate for New Life Church. I've just done this so that we can see how it all comes together. Sussex Community Foundation is related to New Life that way. Rivers is related to New Life that way. And of course, that's me, JS. And we all come together. Rivers for Women actually does the work, which is an organization. So we've covered from Crawley to Horsham, but we've also gone across to Brighton, and I've done a few in Birmingham and London. Birmingham and London, we've been able to do online. Most of them, I haven't written down what it is, but a lot of them have got to do with ladies, females, maybe stuck as to what to do, because when we first went into lockdown, family centers were closed, the courts were closed, and a lot of people didn't know what to do. So there was a lot of safeguarding issues that had to be done. So I was able to refer people online because Rivers was still going. My phone was still on. My phone was on 24/7. This was what we set up to do. Pastor David has spoken about listening, feeding, safeguarding is a lot of what Kerry does, family support, which we've seen is what the church do, and of course, financial assistance, which was what people wanted. Now, what else did we do? It wasn't only about feeding. There are lots of people who could not afford to pay their bills. There are some people who are not entitled to benefits, so therefore they had zero income. So we were able to refer them to hardship funds that the British Red Cross runs. For these people, I don't know if the word no recourse to public funds mean anything to us here. No recourse to public funds, that means that you do not have any entitlement to benefits. So there are people in the country who do not have any benefits. So they had no child support, no universal credit, no rent paid by the council. It was nothing, nothing, nothing. And again, Chrysalis as a whole were able to support those people, which was what we did there, even water bills. We gave out toys because the toy shops were closed. A lot of lucky mothers had babies during lockdown, were pregnant during lockdown. They had their kids. The shops were closed. They needed baby clothes. They needed cots. They needed mats. We had new first-time mothers saying, what do I do? Where do I start? A Again, that picture over there is supposed to be men's essential kit. We do look after men, even though our charity is for women, because men are part of the family. So we did give out men hygiene kits, and we still do have men hygiene kits if anybody wanted some. Now, of course, I'm standing up here in front of you saying Geraldine, but I didn't do all of this on my own. We had volunteers. As I stand here, I counted last night, we have about 42 volunteers all doing different things. Lots of people came out. Some people couldn't come out, but some people sent out money. It was a dip here, a dip there, but it made a difference. Some mothers came out for one day. Somebody actually works night, and she came. She said, I can do 3 hours before I go to bed. So I did not do it on my own, and these are what we need to do. Geraldine does not drive. I normally say I drive, but the government doesn't believe me, so I never passed any test. So a lot of the work has to do with driving. So we get people who pick up this stuff, they deliver it or distribute it where as far and wide as it needs to go. We have people who help shopping for the vulnerable. And what I must say is vulnerable for us does not mean somebody who is actually registered disabled. Vulnerable could be somebody who is economically unable. So it could be somebody who cannot get on the bus because it costs £5 to get on the bus. It could be somebody who has not got the, probably has the £5, but suffers from anxiety, cannot get on the bus. So the food support, packing food parcels, you see the photos of food parcels soon. Administration, we had to do that. I'm not going to read all this through, but what I'm going to say is a lot of the work we did, we got through text, phone call, WhatsApp messages, and video calls on Facebook. A lot of our clients, English wasn't their first language, because when a lot of these came out, it was all mostly in English. A lot of our clients do not have computers, they do not have the internet at home, so we had to speak to them. Here, a widow is saying she has limited means and we had to support her. She called out for help and we did. Nine drivers deliver the food parcels and we have 4 volunteers who actually collect from the supermarkets or wherever the food that we need to distribute at our base. And here, I'm just saying that we deliver to an average of 200 homes. And 2,300 packages were delivered between February to May. So from February to Friday, we've done 2,300 and more. Because some of the homes, we give them a big enough parcel for them to share with relatives or next door neighbors. And again, some of the 1/3 of the volunteers are from the New Life Church and 2/3 are volunteers from the community. So again, we are mixed. That speaks for itself, and they go out in brown parcels because we're being discreet. And when COVID first started, we were not sure whether people get it from touching. So we use paper bags, which are disposable. I think now we're doing other things. So we know it's not by touching. I made myself available between the 23rd of December and the 4th of January, twice a day, because that was the loneliest time for most people who live on their own. This is what Rivers does normally. I've just put 2 leaflets there if anybody wants. You can take a photograph later on, or I can give you a leaflet. I think this relates to the verse that we've just read, or the passage we've just read. This is an inspiring, selfless deed which not only affects the lives of individuals and families, but demonstrates the pure meaning of love and care. I'm leaving it there for now. Any questions? That's fine. Anybody got any questions? Okay. Thank you. New Life Community Foundation. Now we are all actually sitting in New Life Church as part of the church, the service, as Kerry and Pastor David have just said, is about church and brought the Bible into it. Now, what New Life did some time ago was to actually do a foundation. Because we want to reach out to lots of different people, we're actually going to reach out to people. And I said the video said it. Was it a video that said that because of what the people had done, a lot of people got to believe in Jesus. So a lot of the work that we do, we try to reach out to the people, and from us reaching out to people, they can actually feel the love and then believe in Jesus. So the whole idea of setting up the community foundation was for us to reach out to people where we're not preaching the gospel, we're just loving people. And here I'm just saying that it was set up in 2020. The marginalized in the local community are people who do exist, they are there, but unfortunately we are not able to get to the people for different reasons. Normally people will say we are not able to get to them, but then I found out that sometimes people are not able to get to us because we are of where we are based. So an example is being based in Funny Screen. A lot of the work we do, there are other communities that would like to reach out to us in Funny Screen, but they cannot afford the travel to get here. So what we're doing is we're going to go out there and meet them. Especially from disadvantage, again, economic and social background. So being a disadvantaged economic and social background is normally not of people's choosing. So we're trying to do as much as we can to reach out to these people. So there we've got impact. And although the camera is not good, Shane, if you look to this side of the wall, we've actually got being a church of impact here. But then on here, we've got focus, which we're still doing the same impact. But that is a different impact we're doing, which is different, but similar. So here, I'm saying we're going to do the integration. We're reaching the marginalized, poverty, association, the community, and together, so we can focus. So we're going to focus on the marginalized in the community so that we can actually make an impact. But obviously, like the video, which I didn't know was going to be shown, that was shown just now, is where they've made an impact. And out of that, they've made an impact, this impact, and out of that impact, we're doing this impact. And I'm saying we continue to work in partnership with local charities, organizations, to develop and support initiatives and projects. And the ARC is out there. The ARC is the community hub. So what are we going to do next? I know the first time people are asked, have you got any questions? And we're like, no, we haven't got any questions. The next bit of what we're going to do is we do need suggestions, because a lot of us have worked during lockdown. We've worked through for the last 15 months, and there are more than 8, 9, 10 people here. So we do need everybody's impact, however small, so we can make a big impact. Even if you only think, well, I can only do 5 hours a year, it does make a difference, because I tell you, it gets to the point where there is only enough one thing that one pastor can do, one leader can do, one leader's wife can do, one pastor's wife can do, one, I don't know, worship leader can do, one children's worker can do. We all do need to get in touch with each other and do something, which is my plea here. We've got some forms at the back. No, we haven't got them at the back, sorry. We've got them on the chair, which does have the questions that we're going to deal with. And if you want to, we can email you the questions, send the questions off to you by Signal or email. I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to spend 4 minutes to say, if you have questions or you can ask me, what can we do? Because I know we could go away and say, well, I will get back to you. But I just wanted us to take 4 minutes and have a look at 5 questions. Before I do that, has anybody got any more questions right now? Okay, the 5 minutes is starting now for 5 questions. The first one is, what impact do you, and here I'm saying you as one person or a group of people, want to make in local within the local Crawley community? Do I take that as a no? Are we thinking about it? Or should I volunteer and call names? I don't know your names anyway, in the way. What approach do you think we should take, focus should take, in reaching out to the community? Has anybody got any thoughts? That's a good one, yeah. Thank you. Is that some joint project we're doing with Chrysalis? Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, that would be good. Yes, we do use interpreters. We use informal interpreters. So we don't let, but then if you want to come out, what languages do you want to I only speak English, so. So if you have interpreters or you think you can help, that is a great help, because sometimes during this lockdown, we had to translate things to French and Arabic. And sometimes we're going on, we've got a group. Does anybody speak Bengali here? Does anybody speak Swahili here? So, yes, languages is good. If you can do languages, then just let us know. What group should focus support? What do you think, can I have some answers, please? What groups do you think we should support as New Life? If we just take a look around, please, even with our mask on, and have a look at the people who are seated here. And then just think, what group of people do you think are missing? Do you think from what Crawley is of itself, there are any sets of people missing that we can reach out to? Now, to support different ethnicities and culture within the Crawley community, which is one of the aims of why I'm standing up here, because too many times people say, well, we can't reach that community. That's a community that's hard to reach, or we don't know what those people are doing. Yes, we have community lunch, but then there's more in reaching out to people than enjoying the food. There's a lot more we can do. There's a lot more we need to understand. So how about suggestions on how we can support different ethnicities to get different people into the church, into the community, into the church building, and into the community? And the last thing is volunteering. Given that a day or an hour will make a difference, what role would you want the foundation as a whole to play? And what role do you yourself want to play without the foundation? If any at all. Thank you. Sorry. Did you? That's my contact details and that Pastor David's contact details. Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine. And I'm impressed with the timing, yes. Because we had this discussion about timing. Well done, Geraldine.
18:44:50.
Thank you. Well, one of the interesting things that happened during lockdown, people said to me, and it started amusing me, Niall, and then it started to irritate me. Because people were saying things like, is the church closed still? I'm thinking, the church was never closed. The building may not have been operational, but the church has never been closed. If you look at Acts chapter 2, the stuff that was going on, the meeting of needs, the prayer, the relationship, we still were able to do all that in some shape or form. So the church never closed. It just left the building. And so I want to really mess with your mind a little and get away from the fact that the church is the building. Because I hope you've seen from Acts chapter 2 this morning, it's not. Who's the church? Thank you, Margaret. That includes me. Because people forget me sometimes. We are the church. The church is the people, this ragged, jagged bunch of people who are not yet perfect, who are on the way, aren't we, Erica? We're still on the way, still things to learn. Old dogs can learn new tricks, can't they? We all have to grow. We all have to learn. God brings us together. And it's messy sometimes, isn't it? But that's exactly what happened in the early church as well. But part of what they did was they met needs. Isn't that an incredible phrase that said there was no needs among them? That's what it said. There was no needs among them because the church did what was necessary to meet the needs. Are we there yet? No, we're not, are we? So that means we all as individuals have a responsibility to get behind things like this. Prayer is important. That's why I'm giving up my morning off, what should be my day off, to spend time praying. Because I believe praying is important. I believe creating that environment is important. But also the stuff where we're meeting needs, where we're actually helping people, where we're serving people in a sacrificial way is important as well. It's part of what it means to be the church. In a few moments, we are going to take communion together. The worship team are going to come and lead us on a song. And part of that song says, "You step down into the darkness." And we know that's what Jesus did. He stepped down into this messy, broken world. He said, "I am the light," but he stepped into the middle of the darkness. And the chorus says, "So here I am to worship." And worship isn't simply about the songs that we sing or the raising of the hands. Both of those are good to do. And even as a good Pentecostal, maybe even, you know, a little bit of a Pentecostal jig or something. That's why we put an Irish song on for you, Niall. Did you like that one? Irish band. Give you a bit of rhythm, bit of a kick. All those things are good. But worship is actually all of our lives. It's what we do Monday to Saturday as well. It's not the 1 hour in church. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the truth of what we've done. That Jesus came into this broken world and gave himself for us. So as we come to this important time, it's not about what we have done. It's about what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.